Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Hey, this morning I want to share with you a message called Chosen, Called and Commissioned. Turn to somebody and say, you are chosen, you are called, and you are commissioned. Hallelujah. And so I want to share some things. And as most of you would know, that in all of our locations at the moment, there's a focus on winning our world and how do we go about that and what is God calling us to do in this season. And as you've heard me say many times, and I'm sure you're aware of it, there's an incredible move of the Spirit of God around the nations right now, and like literally thousands and thousands of people gathering in the middle of cities, worshiping and all that sort of stuff. And I've seen reports of, different churches and groups of churches that have been on beaches and literally water baptizing thousands of people. It's just like crazy. I've never seen anything about it. How many know we need that in Aussie right now? We need that to go further. So I want to talk to you about some things. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is the power of one. The power of one. In John chapter 4, we read about Jesus going through Samaria and he meets this woman. And how many of you know she's got a rather checkered background? She'd been married 5 times and the guy she's with right now isn't her husband. And she meets Jesus. She comes to get water in the middle of the day, which they would never do because it's very hot. So it probably means she didn't want to bump into anybody, anybody to see her or whatever. And so Jesus interacts with her and then she forgets about the water, leaves it and races back into the city. And in verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word the woman testified, who said, he told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. So here's this one woman that because she has an encounter with Christ, the whole city gets changed. Or almost, many believe because of what she said, and then they get themselves encounter Jesus, and many more believe. It's called the power of one. What happens when you never know what can happen when just one person commits their life to Christ? We've all heard of Billy Graham, but did you know as a 16-year-old, he lived in a fairly nominal Christian family, lived on a farm, and wasn't particularly interested in anything going on in Christianity. And somebody reached out to him, invited him to a service, and he committed his life to Christ. And it's estimated that he shared the gospel with at least 2.2 billion people during the course of his life. And he was instrumental in leading hundreds of thousands of people to Jesus during the course of his life. One soul giving their life to Christ can transform, their marriage, the family, future generations, transform their neighborhood, their workplace, the school, the university. Who knows what God can do when just one person sells themselves out to the Lord. And throughout church history, there's incredible stories of people that had a huge impact, and many of them getting saved out of dramatic, situations where they were totally lost and bound and whatever else. And the theme of today's preaching in Pneuma locations around the globe is win one. What would happen if each of us just one led one person to Jesus over the next few months? Who knows the potential that is in the life of a person that's a neighbor of yours, maybe an unsaved family workmate? We have no idea. It's called the power of one. Just one person giving their life to Christ can just release so much. But let me tell you also, talk to you about the power of you. Because God specifically chose you. Do you realize God chose you? Come on, the scripture's clear. He chose you. He called you and he commissioned you and he's equipped each one of us by his grace and power. In John 15, I love this verse, verse 16 and 19 and verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain, eternal fruit. He chose you. You did not choose me. Do you realize the faith that we had to believe in Jesus in the first place was a gift from God? We don't have faith on our own. He gave us faith so that we could believe. That's why it says that our salvation is not by works. It's not by things we did. And he goes down in verse 19 and says, I chose you out of the world. I chose you out of the world and appointed you that you might go and bring forth fruit. This is the power of your life. In Acts chapter 1, we all know that, where Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. If you've been filled with the Spirit, you've received power. Come on, somebody. Receive power. So the grace of God, by the goodness of God, he's empowered us to be witnesses for him throughout the world, wherever we are. And in Romans 10, 14, 15, it says, how will they call on him if they've not believed? And how will they believe of him they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How many know you're called to be a preacher? Called to be a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How many know we've all been sent? God sent us. Amen. He sent you. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. You've been sent. You've been chosen, called, commissioned. But Proverbs 29 and verse 25 identifies something. It says, the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man wants to ensnare us, trap us, shut us down, lock us out. But God says, no, no, if you'll trust me, I'll keep you safe in the middle of it. Come on, somebody. Fear and traps. And Satan comes to attack us with thoughts to make us feel insecure, incapable, inadequate. Oh, no, I don't know the Bible enough. I don't have enough theology. No, 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 it's nothing about any of that. It's nothing about that. He has equipped us. And the devil comes. He's a father of lies and deceptions, and he wants to intimidate us and shut us down. Emma, why don't you come and share with us what you shared with us on Wednesday night? Come on.
Hello, everybody. I shared something that happened, I think, about 2 weeks ago with the core team on Wednesday. And essentially, yeah, I've been going on a journey with breaking off the fear of man. The Lord has been faithful to encounter me multiple times, and there's absolutely a work that the Lord is doing in me that is completely just up to him, and just me surrendering and yielding and breaking that, letting him break that off. But there's also that practical element where I still need to step out to continue to partner with my freedom in the area of fear of man. And so Zach and I were out on a Saturday just enjoying our Sabbath. We went for a coffee, op shopping, and we passed by this crystal shop. And I immediately feel the Holy Spirit just tugging on my heart and tell me, go minister to the person working at the counter. And I was like, I wish I could say I just like barged straight in there and was like, yeah, I'm going to minister the gospel. But I actually was like, okay, I don't know. I actually like really wrestled, and I really struggled. We like walked back and forth up the road a few times. I went to different shops. I was like, no, I have to go back. I have to go back, simply because one, the Lord loves that person. But two, if I give into this feeling of intimidation and fear that I'm feeling, I'm then partnering again with the fear of man, and I want to stay free. I don't want to continue to walk in the fear of man. So I just prayed, Lord, you know what you're doing. Just take over. Give me the words. And so then, yeah, I walked in there. I spoke with the lady, and she was actually such a sweet and kind woman, and we got to pray together, and she gave me a hug, and we chatted about the gospel, and it was a fabulous experience. Which for me, I think the encouragement that came out of that for me is that the Lord is faithful to know what we can handle. I think that we get these perceptions that if we go out and minister to someone, they're just gonna blast you and be like rah 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 and reject you, and like, you know, there's probably times where that will happen, but, you know, at the same time, if the Lord knows that we're following the breadcrumbs, we're still young and we're still trying to act in faith on beginning a new journey in freedom and ministering to people, he's going to protect us. We're his children. Ultimately, he's going to protect us. He's not going to put us in situations that will put us in harm's way. So, yeah, I just say that to encourage you because, yeah, he's faithful, he's kind, and he will protect you on your journey. I encourage you to step out and partner with that freedom and do it, because you're never really going to, I mean, unless you're like a super evangelist and you're like, no, I never feel fear. There's always going to be that little bit of fear, but just step out and do it anyway, and the Lord will bless it.
That's great. Yeah. Well, how many know every time you go to step out, you have to break through the fear barrier? Every time. And you'd make a decision, am I going to break through or not? So thank you for that, Emma. That's really fantastic. And that, so that is the power of you. But now let me talk to you about the power of a testimony. Because in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, it says, and this is the testimony. This is the testimony. This is our testimony. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. There's the power of the testimony and the content of a real testimony. It's a focus on the gospel of God as the only source of real life. It's indisputable truth. As there is life in no other, there's no other way. In 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul writes, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of it, because it's the only hope people have got. It's the only way. Hell is horrible. And Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. Have you thought about it? God is love, and he isn't in hell. There's no love. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all, but he's not in hell. It's dark, it's dirty, it's ugly. God brings peace and joy and security, and none of that's in hell. You're going to burn in hell and pay the price for your own sin because you didn't believe in Jesus, who's already paid the price for you. God doesn't want you to go to hell, doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why he sent Jesus. But this is the reality, and that's the power of the gospel. It's the power that you have as a person that's chosen, called, and commissioned, and equipped to go, and that's the power of you, and that's the power of a testimony, and we're going to look at a testimony. It's called the power of a testimony. How many of you have got a testimony? We've all got one. In Revelation 12, 10 and 11, it says this, I heard a loud voice in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night have been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Can I say your testimony defeats the enemy? Defeats the enemy. And when the enemy starts to attack you with doubt and fear and all sorts of things that are contrary to the word of God, we need to learn to lift up our voice and declare our testimony in thanksgiving and praise. And don't love yourself or your lifestyle to the point where you're not sharing your testimony with others. They didn't love their life to the point of death. You overcome by the power of the blood, the power of your testimony, and getting the priorities of your life right. In Matthew 10, 32, 33, whoever therefore confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So testifying before others establishes our identity and our faithful witnessing and sharing the truth about God. It establishes all of that with the Father. Jesus goes and said, hey, did you see what she's doing? You see what he's doing? And establishes this. And Jesus tells the Father about you, whether you're testifying about him before others or if you're hiding and deny him before others. How many know some good stuff in the Word when you stop and think about it? It's powerful. That's the power of your testimony. And let me tell you, the power of the gospel. John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There are four simple things that encapsulate the whole gospel. God loves, God gave, you believe, and you receive. It's as simple as that. And God loves you. He didn't just love the world. He loved each of us individually. That's why he gave us power to become his children. As many as believe in him, to them gave he authority, gave the power to become a child of God. He's our Father, and he's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. In Matthew 1:21, speaking of Mary, she'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sin. In Luke 19:10, we read, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's looking for the lost. He come to seek and save them. And in Acts 4:12, we're told there's no salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to eternal life. He's our only Savior, healer, deliverer. And as I said before, hell is real and hell is horrible. But thank God heaven is real and heaven is wonderful. And we get a little taste of it every now and again when you encounter God, in the presence of God, we get a little taste of it. But it means that, as it says in Acts 2:21, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we have to encourage people to call on the Lord. As they call on him, they discover for themselves the power of the gospel. How many of you can remember when you got saved? And you felt something shift. You felt maybe you were conscious of the forgiveness of sin or the cleansing or something. I got saved when I was 5 years old. I can remember it to this day. Kneeling in a little country hall after the Sunday school, and kneeling down in the late afternoon and committing my life to Jesus. And that's a long time ago now, but it's still very real for me. I can remember the feeling, and I was only a five-year-old kid, but I can just remember that sense of, wow, something very real. He's real. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. It's awesome, isn't it? And so as we go, we preach that the kingdom is at hand, and heal the sick. Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven's at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you've received. For it. See, the gospel should always be accompanied by a demonstration, not just words, but a power encounter. As Paul, writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And Jesus in Matthew 7:27 said, healing is the children's bread. Healing is his children's bread. And the gospel has power from a sinner to a saint, as I said before, from death to life, from darkness to light. Whole towns, cities, nations transformed by the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. And you and I have been chosen, we've been called, we've been commissioned. And God in his sovereignty could do whatever he likes in the earth, but he has chosen that the extension of the kingdom would be done in cooperation with people. And his purposes on the earth outworked through people that cooperate with him. So there's some things we need to do. Number one is connect. We have to connect with people. The gospel starts with go. We have to go. Connect with people, whoever they are, wherever they are, as the Lord gives us opportunity and as he leads us. You know, sometimes people talk about, oh, you just got to be led by the Spirit. Can I say to you, yes, that's true, but you're still going to be held accountable for the opportunities. It's not just about you sensing, oh, God's saying to you, oh, go and talk to that one. It's about us reaching out to people with our own initiative, because we've already been sent. We've already been commissioned. And in Matthew 18, verse 18, 20, Jesus came, spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me, heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. You know this so well, the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. In your heart, in the center of your being, the center of your life, in your priorities, in your thinking. No, set Jesus apart as Lord of all, as sovereign King. And always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that's in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. When we connect with people, respectfully connect with people, in humility and with the love of God, not judgmental or critical about them, accepting people for who they are and wherever they are in life. That's why we have to go, not just physically, but emotionally, relationally, mentally, all of that sort of thing. So we're not sitting in judgment and critical. How many know that if you accept people, they can sense that, but if you talk to them and you're not really accepting them as a person, they will sense that as well. They feel the rejection. And he said, as we read before in Acts 1:8, we've got power to be witnesses. So being a witness requires more than just living a Christian life. Living the life may attract some attention and some questions, but the message has to be heard. We have to connect to communicate, which is the second point. And I want you to notice, I think we've got it this time, conversion is in a conversation. If you take the AT out of the word conversation, you've got the word conversion. So it's about communicating with people, making a decision to connect and communicate. As the Spirit leads you, but also remember that we've been commissioned and sent. So just share your journey with Jesus, his love and healing, delivering power, what you've experienced of his presence in your life, your testimony of the love and goodness and protection and provision of God. And you know, one of the things we need to remember as a Christian, he doesn't necessarily take us away from difficult situations. He didn't remove the sea for the Israelites as they were running from the Egyptians. He parted it. And even in the difficult times, he'll make a way for you. And like most of you here, we've been through some very challenging times, very difficult times. But God's always been there. You don't see it. How many know? Sometimes you don't recognize it at the moment. But when you look back, when you've come out the other side, you say, oh my gosh, it wasn't that bad after all. Seemed pretty bad at the time. Or maybe it was bad in some respects. But he gives you grace. He gives you the ability if you'll lean in and trust him. And so we share the journey. But so it's connect, communicate. And part of your communication, number three, is call. Give an invitation and call them out of where they are into the love and mercy and grace and forgiveness of God. It's like Jesus, you know, coming to Peter and Andrew by the Sea of Galilee, and they're fishing, and he calls out to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He called to follow Jesus. Not a church, not religious rituals, not some thing like that, but to be born again into the family of God and follow Jesus for the rest of their life. So we have to connect, we have to communicate, we need to call them out to follow him and give them the invitation and show them the way. As it says in Romans 10, 11, 13, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we call people to call on him, and everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, regardless of who they are, whatever they've done, whatever state they're in. That's why we have to accept people where they're at and connect with them in a loving way, because God loves them. How many know God loves the person you might consider the worst sinner you've ever known? He loves them just as much as he loved you. He died for them just as much as he died for you. And that's why and it says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, he's not willing that any should perish. The will of God, you know, I've often challenged the church leaders about this, because they'll begin to settle because, you know, they've got a congregation of a few hundred people or 1,000 people or whatever, and they feel like they're doing a good job. But you realize that they're in the middle of a city of several million people. It's kind of like, come on, guys, we're only just getting going. There's more. There's a harvest that we're called to bring in, and people that need to be saved. And so not just call, but the fourth one is the word confess. Because it says in Romans 10 and 9 and 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So people need to make a confession or a declaration, speaking out of what they've come to believe in their heart. This is the basis of encouraging people to do what we call, say, the sinner's prayer. You won't find a sinner's prayer in Scripture, but this is the foundation of it, speaking out of what's in their heart at that point, even though they may not understand it. How many know salvation's not about understanding it or having complete knowledge intellectually or mentally? It's about faith. It's about you see something that you don't fully understand, and you encounter the presence of God, and out of that encounter, out of that revelation that comes to your heart, you choose, even though you may not understand it. No, I choose to believe in Jesus. I choose to believe that he is the Son of God and he died for me. I choose to believe that he rose again. And in making that decision in my heart and declaring it, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be cleansed from my sin. I'm going to be forgiven. I've been moved out of the darkness into the kingdom of God as a son, a daughter of God. It's incredible when you confess with your mouth. And as Jesus said in Matthew 10, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess them before the Father in heaven. And public confession and declaration of what we believe activates the presence of God in our life. Jesus declares our identity as a believer before the Father, and he helps us as an individual as we hear ourselves. I don't know, how many of you found, one of the reasons I say to people, read your Bible loud, how many of you found when you read the Bible sometimes it hits you more than if you're reading it silently? You know, yeah, well, when you hear yourself saying, declaring, it confirms something. And over the years, I've seen so many of those who stand up publicly and make a public, you know, declaration or prayer, it seems to become much more real to them than to somebody that just, you know, in the back room somewhere makes a sort of decision. I'm not saying it's not valid, but I'm saying when they do that publicly, that's one of the reasons why I've never been a fan of people just raising their hands. I like you, raise your hand, now come to the front, let's pray for you. Come and let's make a public declaration, because it'll confirm something in you and it'll make it a stronger reality for you than just lifting your hand and putting it down again and somebody's praying and then hopefully somebody's going to catch up with you later. I'm not critical of that. I just think that in my mind, I think I'd rather call people out. And I know that's not very common these days. A lot of people go, oh, no, I don't want to embarrass anybody. Well, Jesus was pretty embarrassed hanging on the cross. And unless you're prepared to come out in the front of other people, he's never going to confess you in front of the Father. And so your identity. And then having done that, having confessed the Lord, well, then it's time to celebrate. In Luke 15:10, likewise I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's joy in heaven, and there should be joy here. When somebody we've connected with, we've communicated with, we've called them out, they've confessed, and now it's time to celebrate. And there should be some celebration, because that is the greatest, most significant decision anybody can ever make. It totally changes everything. And, you know, heaven becomes very real. And the reality of your Christian life, it changes. And I've seen so many people over the years that go through an incredible transformation over a relatively short period of time after committing their life to Christ, because God is gracious towards us. And if we cry out to him and we lean into him, he's got so much more. And there's no limitation in God. There's no restriction. Doesn't matter what, you know, he didn't just heal the sick. He raised the dead. You know, all of that. And we've still seen that and see that happening. And so I want to just encourage you this morning to think about the fact that each one of us are chosen, we are called, and we are commissioned. But the reality is that for most Christians, we know that intellectually, but we need to have a conviction about it so that it changes our lives and mobilizes us to see the extension of the kingdom of God, seeing people come to Christ in the way that the Scripture outlines. Next Sunday, we have a service that is entitled Bring One. Bring One. But we're going to call it Bring One Miracle Service. I felt the Lord add, so actually this weekend and most of the other locations, they've got their Bring One service. Win our world. Bring one. But next week, it's a miracle service. So not just for people that need to get saved, the backslidden, but people that need healing, people that need a miracle. And afterwards, we're going to have a beautiful lunch again and hang out. So bring the people, even if it's just to come for lunch, because sometimes you've got to belong before you believe. It's as you connect with people and you find acceptance and love and relationship that encourages people to commit their lives to Christ. And here's the thing. Gary is preaching and ministering next Sunday, and I'm excited about that. And Gary, why don't you come on out? We're going to pray for you. And Michelle, you want to come and hold his hand so he's... How about some of the team come and gather around? Come on. Now, here's the thing. We are recognizing Gary as our evangelism coordinator. And so... you know, joining the core team and has had all sorts of experience in ministry over the years, pastoring a church and then ministering all around the place. And I love what you carry, you guys, and we just appreciate it so much. So why don't we pray? Now, Father, we just thank you for Gary and for Michelle. We thank you for bringing them here. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done in and through them. And we thank you, the best is yet to come. You always have more. And so, Father, we pray. Well, Lord, we just pray for total healing for Michelle, that every restriction, every limitation, everything, Father, that would restrict her, we break it off today in Jesus' name and speak healing and health to every part of her being, spirit, soul, and body, healed, whole, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for Gary. And Lord, as he ministers next Sunday, we just pray for a fresh anointing, a fresh flow of your spirit, and that you would just do what you want to do in with him, through him, with him. And Lord, we just ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and take control? Take control of this place, God. Take control of all of our lives. You do what you want to do. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So pray for these guys and pray for Gary as he prepares to minister. But here's the deal. It's a bring one Sunday service. So bring somebody. Bring somebody. Come on. We can all step out and do that. And from now on, from next Sunday on, in every Sunday service, there will be an appeal for salvation and the opportunity for response. And from then on, I want to encourage you to bring people every Sunday. Now, you can lead them to Jesus wherever they are. You don't have to. I'm not saying you can't lead them to Jesus and get them to commit their life to Christ. You know, you can do that. But we want to change the way we're going about things here a bit and encourage you and create an environment where you can be absolutely sure and safe in bringing unchurched people to the service. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be some things happen that they have a question about, but just think about it. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out and there was crazy stuff going on, there was a huge crowd gathered, and there were 3,000 committed their lives to Christ. And I know churches that have shut down, no, you can't speak in tongues and you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, I've got to tell you, we've done it all the time in all the churches we've ever pastored, and we haven't lacked people getting saved, I think every week at least, and through the life groups and everything else. And so here we've got some invitation cards that are on the table at the back, and there's room on the back for you to put your phone number and your name and invite them to the church, invite them to Jesus, invite them to the church. But don't forget to write on the back, it does say Numa Sunshine Coast in very small print, but there's no address or anything. So, because the thing is with it, and research is very clear, statistics are very clear. There's very few people wander into church on their own. The people that come into church as unchurched, unsaved people, by far the vast majority is because somebody reached out to them and bought them. And don't just invite them. Go and get them, buy them breakfast and come. Have lunch with them. Hang out, reach out, bring them in. And let's just believe God for that. So that is there. So take two or three of them and don't leave them sitting in your home. Carry them with you, hand them out wherever there's somebody, or go to somebody and bring them in. So just right now, let's just bow our heads for a moment and just close our eyes. And Father, right now, I just pray that, Lord, you would help each of us rise into the full potential that you've called us into. We thank you that you have chosen us. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you chose me way, way back. And Lord, you've called us. You didn't choose us just to sit in a church service. You didn't choose us just to enjoy you. But you called us that we might call others. You commissioned us. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to overcome the fear of man and overcome every other intimidation or sense of inadequacy, to rise up into the fullness of all that you've called us to be. And right now, this morning, if you're here this morning and you know your relationship with the Lord's not what it really should be, or maybe you've never committed your life to Christ, you've never called out to him and asked him in recognition that he died for you and God loves you and he doesn't want to see you tied up and confined in a life that's dark. He wants to set you free. He wants you to walk with him, walk in his light, in his love, in his grace, his mercy, his provision. And if this morning you're in the service and you know you're not really walking with the Lord in the way you should, or you have never committed your life to Christ, while people's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand, give me a wave, say, "Hey, Kevin, pray for me. I need to step up further. I need to step in." Or maybe you've never committed your life to Jesus. Just give me a wave and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that everybody in this place knows you. Hallelujah. So just to make sure we're comfortable in the future and know as we move forward, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, a salvation prayer right now. And I want you to pray it out loud after me as if it's coming from your own heart. And this is what the sort of thing we'll be doing moving forward. So let's pray together. And you pray out loud after me. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Today I repent of all of my sin. And I ask you to forgive me. I choose to believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And that you raised him from the dead. I choose to believe that Jesus ascended to heaven and is now seated at your right hand in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving and cleansing me from all my sin. And thank you for accepting me as your child, both now and forever. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got nothing to celebrate today, but we'll celebrate anyway. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, God bless you. And don't forget next Sunday and be praying for miracles. One of the things I've been praying into, you know, because the promises.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God.
However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.